advancing His kingdom. Father God, I pray that we would come before You humbly, trembling at Your word, reverent before a holy God, but knowing that You are near to us because You are our Father in heaven. I pray, Lord, that we would be open to the work You're doing, and I pray that You would forgive us for our sins. Again, we don't deserve it. Can't earn it, but Lord, we ask that You'd forgive us for all of our sins. Pray, Lord, that You would open Your word, and I pray that You would speak. I pray that You would unite us and send us out, and Lord, that we would be used in the hands of a mighty God to make a huge impact in the lives of the people and the community and the area around us. Lord, that Your kingdom would continue to push forward and lives would be changed and eternities be changed. We can't do that, Lord, but You can, and we ask that You would. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said. If you have your Bibles, we're in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, starting in verse 14. Jesus was driving out a demon that was mute. When the demon left, the man who had been mute spoke, and the crowd was amazed. Yeah, I would think that they would be amazed. It's an amazing thing. I mean, again, Jesus is showing His superiority. He's showing His authority. He's showing His power over the enemy. He's continuing to do miracles. He has done a lot of things up to this point. He's fed multitudes. He's done miracle after miracle and healed person after person. He's raised the dead. He's cast demon after demon out, and now He casts another demon out. And some of the group, when they were there and they saw His power move and His authority over the evil, they were amazed. I would be amazed. Wouldn't you be amazed? They were amazed at His power and His authority. That was one group that was there, and they stood there and or sat there, or they were there in amazement. But there were some who were jealous, full of pride probably. And they try to switch things around. It goes on to say in verse 15, but some of them said, by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, he is driving out demons. You've got to catch the magnitude of what they're doing here. They can't deny that He has power because He has displayed it again. They can't deny that He is doing amazing things because He has done it in plain sight. It's not like sleight of hands. It's not like tricks. It's not illusions. He's doing amazing things with pure power. So they can't deny His power. So what they're doing is they're trying to shift where the power is coming from. They're saying God, the one holy, true, awesome God, they're saying the things that He is doing is coming from the power of Satan. That's what they're saying. You talking about turning things upside down. You talk about mixing things up and shifting things around. It doesn't get any bigger than this. You talking about messed up. This is messed up. They're calling good evil. They're accrediting Satan with what God's doing. That's what they're doing. They're saying that Jesus is doing this through the power of the enemy. It doesn't get more messed up than that. And I'm telling you, people do it all the time. People, for their own will, for their own benefit, they will switch things around and they will call good bad and bad good if it benefits them, won't they? And that's exactly what they're doing here. There's also another group that goes on to say this. Others tested Him by asking for a sign from heaven. They just had a sign from heaven. They just had one. He just healed a guy. He just cast out a demon. That's the sign from heaven. He just did it. But they want more. The evidence can be right in front of their face, but they still want more evidence. I believe it's still that way, 2019. I believe that there is evidence upon evidence that proves that God is who He said He is, that His word is what it says it is, that Jesus is who He said He is. I believe there's evidence upon evidence upon evidence, and people want more evidence. If you want to shut your eyes, you'll shut your eyes. Jesus knew their thoughts. He does know their thoughts. He knows our thoughts. And said to them, any kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and a house divided against itself will fall. If Satan is divided against himself, how can his kingdom stand? I say this because you claim that I drive out demons by Beelzebub. We know that that's a true statement. If a kingdom is divided against a kingdom, it's very weak. It falls, right? When homes are divided against themselves, they're in bad shape. Do we agree? And on a quick side note, I don't know about you, but that just makes me want to pray more and more for our country, because I believe our country is divided. I believe that we live in the greatest nation in the world. I'm biased because this is where I live, but I believe we live in an amazing country with amazing freedoms that people paid a very high price for. And people are still serving and giving, and there's a lot of good that happens here. But I believe that this country needs a lot of prayer, because we are deeply divided, and division is not a good thing. Division is not a good thing inside of a nation. Division is not a good thing inside of a household. Division is not a good thing inside of a church. We're called to be united. Called to be together, to be one. So he's saying to them, he's showing them just logically that there's no way that this is of Satan, because if this is of Satan, Satan's beating up himself. He's not going to do that. He's just showing them with pure logic that what they're saying is crazy. Satan is not going to beat himself up. It would hurt him. He goes on to say, now if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your followers drive them out? Right? He's saying, look, if you're saying I'm doing this, what about your followers? Now, he didn't say that his followers, that they claim to have thrown out demons and cast out demons. So he's saying, if you're saying I'm doing this by Beelzebub, who are you saying your followers are doing this? How are they doing it? By what power are they doing it? But he goes back and he says, so then they will be your judges. He's saying, look, if they're doing it through the power of God and you're saying it's because of Beelzebub, they will judge you. Your followers will judge you. He's saying, if you're going to throw me under the train, you're throwing them under the train, and they can judge you for it. If you're going to give them respect, you need to give me respect. Verse 20, but if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. The kingdom of God is right before them. The power of God is moving in their midst. God is doing amazing things right there, and they miss it. They miss it. God was moving in powerful ways right in front of their eyes, and they missed it. Do you believe God does amazing things 2019? You think people still miss it? He said, if I'm doing this by God's power, then the finger of God's moving right in front of your face. He goes on and says, when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are safe. Who's the strong man in this story, by the way? The strong man here is Satan. He had possession of this man. In this illustration, the strong man is Satan. He had possession of this guy. But when someone's stronger, who's the someone stronger? Jesus, God. Attacks and overpowers him. He takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides up the spoils. He's saying, I have authority. I have power. I have just proven I have power over the enemy. There's no way this is the enemy doing it, because the enemy's not going to fight himself. It's the finger of God, and I've already proven my power. I've already proven my power to you, because I have cast him out. I have defeated him. He stood to defend what he thought was his. He stood to defend this home that he was in inside of this guy, and God threw him out, cast the Satan down, cast the demon out. He's saying, look at the power and the authority I have just shown right in front of your faces. Verse 23, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. Look, if you think that you want to be a fence rider, that you just want to coast along, I don't believe that there's a... I don't believe that's what we're called to be, or who we're called to be. You're either with him or against him. If you're not doing anything, then you're allowing the kingdom of evil to spread. If you're not with God, if you have not chosen to be on his side, you are against him. And you are on one of the two sides. You're either on God's side or Satan's side. There's no in-between ground. You are on one of the two sides. We're in a battle. There is a real God and a real Satan. There is really good and there is really evil. And you are on one side or the other. And if you pick the side of doing nothing, you're on the other. If you're not with Christ and doing his work, you're helping the enemy. You're on his side. There's no neutral ground. You're either fighting to advance the kingdom of God or you're helping the enemy. You're on one of the two sides. Now he goes on to explain the state of a person inside. He says, when an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through arid places seeking rest, and it does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. Because I believe that's how they look at it. They look at it as a house. I believe the way that we're made, that there's a place inside of us for the spirit to dwell. It's made for the Holy Spirit to dwell within us, right? Because whenever you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit is within us. We all agree with that? So there's a place within us that is made for the Holy Spirit to be, to dwell. But if you do not allow Christ in your life and you do not fill that space with the Holy Spirit, guess what? It's an empty space. And if it's not filled with the Holy Spirit, it can be filled by another spirit. Right? So listen. Demon possession is real. We've talked about this before. There can be demon possession where they're in you. There can be demon oppression when they're out here beating you up, right? Because if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, they can't be in you because the Holy Spirit is not hanging out with the demon. Right? They can't live together. So if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, they can't be in you. They're out here beating you up. But if you don't have the Holy Spirit in here, it's an open place. And so when you open doors, possession can happen, and it's very real. So when they come out of a man, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house swept and clean and put it in order, right? Because the person was trying to put their lives back in order, clean things up. Then it goes and takes seven other spirits more wicked than itself. And they go in and live there. And the final condition of that man is worse than the first. Listen, if Jesus, just like with this guy that was mute, that he cast this demon out of, if this demon does not fill his life with Christ and let the Holy Spirit in that place, what can happen? Even if he cleans up the outside of his life and everything else looks good, and he gets religion and legalism and all the other stuff, if he's not filled with the Holy Spirit, that spirit can come back and make his life worse than it ever was. It's not about just getting legalistic and having religion in your life and making everything else out here look good. It's about what you do in here. You have to allow the Holy Spirit into your life and to fill your life with Him, to occupy that space and let it be more and more about Him. As Jesus was saying these things, a woman in the crowd called out, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." Jesus does not argue with that statement. He does not deny the statement that Mary was blessed. Even Elizabeth, when Mary came into her presence, filled with the Holy Spirit, said she was blessed. Mary was blessed. She was greatly honored and privileged to be the mother of Jesus. She was blessed, but she is not a God. She's not a God. So yes, she was blessed, But he goes on and he shows where an amazing blessing is for all of us. He says, he replied, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." That if you would hear it, that's what we talked about last week, right? Being able to, the time with God and prayer and getting into word, and there was little pamphlets. There's still a few of those pamphlets out back that just even if you don't have that quiet time with him, you know, starting 7 minutes a day, you can give him 7 minutes a day. 7 minutes a day with God and allowing him to impact your life, to get in the word and allow the word to change you, because the word is living and active and it's powerful, and let it change you. Because you're blessed when you hear the word of God, and you're also blessed when you allow it to affect your life and change your life, that you start to live it. It's not just in your head, but it's in your heart, and it starts to change who you are and you start to live it. I'm telling you, if you want to be blessed in your life, if you want a blessing, get into the word and allow it to change you. It'll bless you. So you're like, okay, Jesus casts out a demon a long time ago. What does that have to do with me, 2019, Sunday morning, 10 minutes before church is over, for those of you counting? I think it has a ton to do with us. Again, I believe we're called to advance His kingdom. And I believe that's exactly what Jesus was doing here when He was casting out the enemy. He was continuing to advance God's kingdom. And He gives us a lot of points and strengths that I believe we should be doing as His people, as His church, as His army of believers, because I believe we should be His army. We should be a church family, but we should be His army, His hands and His feet. And I believe a good place that starts is being united. We are called to be united. As a church, I believe within this church, within North Bend, all three services, we should be one. Within all three services, we should be one. But I believe it's even bigger than that. I believe we should be one with the other area churches. We should be on the same side. Yes, we do services a little different. Maybe we do music a little different. Maybe our styles are a little different. Maybe some have you stand up and sit down more than we do. Whatever. If it's Bible-based, Christ-centered, Holy Spirit-filled, if Jesus is the center of it, right? If we all believe that God is our Father and Jesus is our Savior and Jesus is the only way to heaven, and we all have the same main basic points, we're all the same team, right? It shouldn't be, who can I pull from here and there? My goal's never been to shuffle the flock. My goal is to reach the lost. I was told a long time ago, if somebody leaves that church to come to this church, they'll leave this church to go to another one. That's just how it goes, man. My goal is not to shuffle the flock. My goal is to reach the lost. I believe we're on the same team. And you say, but how do we all stay on the same team? Because we're a bunch of different people and we have different opinions and we have different theories and we have different... How do we stay on the same team? We stay on the same team because we have our eyes set on the same point. We're focused on the same point. It's as soon as we take our eyes off of Christ, as soon as we take our eyes off of Jesus, that's when we're messed up. Because what happens is whenever we take our eyes off of Jesus, we put our eyes on ourselves. And we start seeing what we want and what I think, and this is how I think it should be done, and this is my opinion and my theory and my agenda and my motives and my. And as soon as it's about me, it is a mess. Amen? So how does the church, Big C, stay unified? They stay unified because we all are looking at the same point. We're all walking the same direction. Our eyes are all fixed on Christ. We all have the same baseline, which is the Word, which we have to keep in context. Not switch it to what I want. See, whenever you put I in there, it gets all messed up. You have to have the same Word used in context with the same focus of Jesus, and we can be unified. Amen? And I believe when the church is unified, we are much stronger. It is so much so, Jesus prayed for us. And I know that most of you know this, but I'm going to read it anyhow. John 17, I'm reading in verse 20 down through. He says, "My prayer is not for them alone. I also pray for those who will believe in me through their message." That's us. "That all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Did you hear that part? May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. We are supposed to be unified so the world can see that we're different and they can see him through us. Unity's huge. And it's done because we know who he is and we follow him. We're unified because we know that he is God, he is the Messiah, and we follow him. Amen? Point one, advancing his kingdom, knowing who he is, following him, unified. I believe we need to see what he is doing, see where he is working, and get involved in what he is doing. I believe that Jesus is still working today, 2019. He's still doing amazing things. And I believe we need to continue to look for what he is doing and jump into what he is doing. Ask him to show us. If you're like, I don't have a clue what you're talking about, Pastor. I don't even know what you're talking about. Just say, Lord, just sincerely pray to him. Lord, show me what you're doing and where you want me to be involved. Show me what you're doing and where, and you know what? It might be stuff that has been before you all along and you're just seeing it with fresh eyes. It might be stuff that you've been like, well, I knew that that was going on, but I never seen it like that before. That we would seek what he is doing, seek where he's moving, and ask him to use us to be a part of it. That we would be more about doing his will and less about our agendas. That we would know that it is in his power and that he has great power. I believe his kingdom advances because of his power, not ours and our intelligence and our programs and our agendas. It's not that. It moves because of his power. I pray that you find peace and security in his power. He has all power. I believe we're called to be Holy Spirit filled. I don't believe you're just supposed to know about God. I believe you're called to know him. And I believe he is called to be in us and fill us more and more and more. My prayer is that he fills us more and more and more so that it's more him than it is us. More about him than it is us. That he fills us so much with his spirit pours through us. That when people see us, they don't even see us. They see him and they see the fruit of the spirit and his gifts pouring out of us. That we allow him into our life and allow him to have room in our life and to move within us. That we would be a people that hear his word and tremble at it. That you would wake up in the morning and you couldn't wait to hear what he has to say to you. Good morning, Lord. Right? And you can't wait, and you get into the Word, and you eat it, and you allow it to change who you are. Because as you start to get into the Word, and you allow it to affect you and to change you, then you start to live different. Then you're so blessed because you're hearing the Word, but you're living the Word, you're obeying the Word. I believe we're called to be unified, focused on Him, seeing where he's moving, letting him use us to move, letting his power move through us, being filled more and more with his spirit, solid in his word, obedient to what he says. I believe we're called to be the church in action. Short and sweet version, to be his church in action. It won't be like 2020. What are we going to do with this next year? I pray you advance the kingdom. Father God, I pray that you would give us strength and wisdom and insight. I pray, Lord, you would give us clarity and discernment, that you would open the doors that you would have us to walk through, shut the doors you don't want us to walk through. I pray that we would see that we're truly in a battle. And Lord, I pray that we would be on your side, sold out on your side, and we would fight the fight. We would live the life and walk the walk. Pray we would be your people. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said. If you would, please stand.